Well, this evening we're going to start some teaching. We're going to talk about growing up spiritually, just going over basic things of the words that we've taught on this subject before, but going back over things is always good to look into the scriptures. And it's really important, especially in these areas, knowing about growing up spiritually, and we're going to first look at that area of growing up spiritually. We're going to look at different areas of growth. You have to be able to measure yourself according to the Word of God to find out where you're at, you know, and also dealing with other people, knowing where other people are coming from. And as we look in these teachings, we're going to find out, as you know, there's a difference too. Is like a lot of times I think it. Christians don't understand. We deal with people, and sometimes like dealing with people in different areas of spiritual growth where people are at, especially talking about people who are baby Christians, who are, I mean, I'm talking about legitimate baby Christians, someone who has just been born again, somebody who's come in the kingdom, and the difference between that and a carnal Christian. And sometimes just people say they're Christians that are not. People, you know, just, well, I'm a Christian because, you know, I'm, you know, they're born in Christian, with so-called, quote, Christian families. They go to a church. So they automatically think that they're a Christian. Well, if you're not born again, you're not. And you need to understand that with dealing with people. I found out when I first came in the kingdom, I got born again, and there was a lot of people who, because just they went to churches. They went to churches, but they had never been born again, never were children of God. And people were always trying to deal with them like they were dealing with somebody who was a Christian, and they're trying to teach people who aren't even born of God. They're not even born again. And we're going to find out, because you can't teach people the Word of God who have not been born again. They're not going to understand it. It's not going to work. It's not going to have any value to them. You don't teach a person who is not saved. You got to first get them born again, and then the Holy Spirit, they'll have this, the Spirit of God will teach them and guide them, and you have to go there. So many times people, you know, I found that people come along and have all kind of questions about things. They're asking questions, you know, about stuff. And I find sometimes Christians, really, I think it's one of the ways the devil gets Christians all messed up, is they're trying to explain stuff to people who have no comprehension about anything. And they're asking questions, they're trying to explain questions, explain things. I always tell people, well, your main need is to come to Christ. That's your main need. So talking about anything else is just a worthless waste of time. It's not going to go anywhere. And you need to understand that with dealing with people. And that's why if we don't know what the Word teaches about things, we don't know how to measure stuff. And many times Christians never learn how to measure things of spiritually where they're at. They can't measure anybody else to find out where that person's at, how to help that individual. They can't help them because they can't measure. They don't know where any, you know, things are. And that's why it's good to understand these things. And so tonight we're going to first of all look at, especially from a spiritual growth standpoint, we want to turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, because we're going to look here that gifts that Christ put in the church, because these are of great necessity, is to understand these things, because we're going to find out as we go along in this teaching, people who aren't responding or you know, with these gifts and that stuff, they're never going to grow up spiritually. It's never going to happen. You know, you cannot grow up spiritually by yourself. That's a total 100% impossibility according to scriptures. I'm going to go with God on the deal. I don't care what people say. I'm going to go with God. You know, people say, well, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to listen. I can be a good Christian. That's a 100% impossibility to be a good Christian and not hook up with God's program. What God has established to do, and we don't do it, it ain't going to happen. You can never be a good Christian. And over the years, I've had a lot of people say, well, I believe that. I don't care what you believe. What's the Bible say? You know, it don't matter what you believe. If what I believe is not in line with Scripture, then the Bible calls it this. It don't call it belief or faith. The Bible calls it unbelief. Anything that you or I believe that is not founded in Scripture from the standpoint of what Christianity is, it is called unbelief by the Bible. So I'm going to go with the Bible on the thing. And so people can say anything. One of the things we're going to look at here, just want to read a scripture starting in verse 8. It says, therefore he says, speaking of Christ, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now, we want to go over and read in Ephesians. This is Paul writing the church at Ephesus. Paul writes to in the church at Ephesus, and down in verse 11, we're going to pick up there, and he says, "And he himself, this is Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers." And then he says, "What? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man." I don't want that word perfect throw you there. It would have been better translated mature, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness, of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we find out here that Christ, we have gifts in the church. One of the things we read, gifts of the Holy Spirit, which in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, there are gifts that operate through individuals by the Holy Spirit. These gifts here spoken of here are gifts that are given specifically by Jesus Christ to the church. It says there's apostles, there's prophets, there's evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so those gifts are given specifically by Jesus Christ to the church. Now understand this, the Holy Spirit is involved in these gifts. It's not a matter of something, but we have this here. It says he gave some. So in other words, not everyone has these gifts. Some have these gifts. But now understand this, the Bible tells us concerning the Holy Spirit in us, he is a teacher. And every believer has the Holy Spirit in them as a teacher, one who will instruct them and guide them into truth. So it isn't a matter of just an individual has a gift, whether it's a teacher or not. We have an instructor in us. Now we find that this instructor that lives in us, he's going to guide us in line with the truth. He takes what belongs to Jesus, the scripture tells us, reveals it to us. So the Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit who teaches through an individual, we're going to find one of these things as they do is they move in line with the Word. No more than you know the scriptures can the Holy Spirit lead and guide you in teaching. He's going to have to teach you in line with the Word. We measure everything by the Word. We need to understand that. So if a person doesn't know the Word, they're going to be very limited in what the Holy Spirit can reveal or talk to them about. That's why it's important that we have these gifts. One of the great benefits of these gifts that are put in the church is this. Is through teachers, in many ways, it's a lot easier to learn through a teacher than try to sit down and figure out everything yourself. When I sit down and think about over the years of people who had been in ministry, like when I got born again, Kenneth Hagin had already been 40-some years, close to 50 years in the ministry. He had learned a few things coming along. As I remember, he used to say to us, he used to tell us, and I remember in school, he used to say, if you listen to what I teach you, there's a lot of things in life you won't have to go through. He said, you won't have to face certain things. He said, there's certain things took me years to learn. He said, if you'll sit and listen in class, he said, you can find the answers out now. Do you listen? So I learned, pay attention, because of the things that he learned. And he used to always tell us too, he said, something isn't true because I say it. He said, you check it out in the Word to make sure that what I'm saying is accurate. Anybody who just listens to teachers and don't go to the Word themselves are not going to go very far. They're going to end up being deceived. Because we're going to find out from a scriptural standpoint, not everybody out here who is teaching and preaching belongs to God. We need to understand this. There's loads of people. There's loads of people in ministries that are not even born again, not even children of God. There's churches out here, loaded churches and that stuff, have ministers that aren't even born again. I remember, in Lebanon, there was a church, one of the Lutheran churches in Lebanon, and the minister there, he was a guy, from a mind standpoint, he could sit and just quote the Bible like crazy. But it meant nothing to him. He said he didn't believe in being called of God. He said he just chose being in ministry was a vocation. And he would just talk. This man, everybody talked about him being so spiritual. He was not spiritual at all. The man wasn't even born again. And he just, people would, because he would impress them with his intellect. But he wasn't born of Christ. And I often wonder if he got around to it because he turned around and ended up dying. And I've often thought about that, man, all those years. And, if he didn't get saved, he's going to find out. He would have sure wished he'd have chose another vocation than the one that was getting saved. I would have wished he'd have chose that. But we need to understand these things. The purposes of these gifts are for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. This in itself is a really interesting thing. Equipping means made to make fit. And it means through preparing and training, perfecting, making fully qualified for service. In other words, these gifts in the church are for the members of the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry, not the minister. It's not my job to do the work of the ministry. My job is to teach and to minister the word. It is to equip people to do the work of the ministry. Most people, most Christians don't ever do the work of the ministry. They just sit and hear. That's all they do. And it's to do the work of the ministry. And we need to understand what the gifts are for. To benefit from the gifts is people learn the word and start doing what the word says. If you don't do what the word says, it is a worthless thing to hear. Doesn't matter to hear if you don't do it. You got to start doing it. And so it is to do. That's one of the things that I found out. And you'll never grow or develop. People won't grow or develop very fast or even get very far if they don't do the word. Because the Bible says, the doer of the word is blessed. It's the doer that gets blessed. It's not the hearer of the word. It's not the one who has the most information. It's not. Did you ever think about it, that people came along, lots of times, people think that some people have some kind of special talents of things, but I've watched this over the years and looked into people who really succeeded just naturally in life. And one of the things that always amazed me was, is some of the people who went the furthest were not the most educated. But there's one trait that they did had over the people with a lot of education. They went and did something with what they knew, and the people with tons of education, all they want is just to keep learning and learning and learning, but they never put it to work. See, we're training our young people today to do that, to go to school forever. Did you sit in school and 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 get more educated, but never do nothing with it? They aren't doing anything with it. It's doing something. Isn't it amazing, like some of the people who, we look today, I was just reading an article not too long ago, how many people are billionaires today who didn't graduate from college? How many billionaires there are? And how many people in college will never be a billionaire? They're never going to be a billionaire. They're never going to make it. What's the difference? It's about people putting to use what they know, doing it. They started doing things, and that's what makes the difference. It's identical in God's kingdom. It works identically. It's doing something with what you've learned. That's what makes the difference. It is not knowing a lot. I was just at Randall Greer's meetings out in Branson, and Randy said, you're better off, he said, if you just know two scriptures and what they really mean and say, and you'll do them, than gaining a bunch of information. And he's right. It isn't how much you know, it's what you can do with what you know. Doesn't matter how much you know. No matter how bright you person thinks they are. It's what we can live and do, because that's where our success comes from. The point of these gifts is to train people so they can do what the Word of God says. So they can do it. This is important. This is one thing that's very important about people teaching and ministering the Word. We have many people today who teach the Word who aren't doers themselves. They have no practical experience in the Word. They just give information. We have the same thing naturally in our school systems and in our universities. People teaching business courses who never worked in a business in their life. Can you imagine going to a business school and none of your professors have ever worked in a business in their life? And people sit down and spend money for to listen to the guy blow wind who has never done it to prove that it works. But people today don't seem to be moved by that. People are such small thinkers today. They don't think too much. Somebody says something's the way to go, they just, like a bunch of, you know, robots. You know, they're like birds, little baby birds, open their mouth and swallow anything that, you know, is put into it. And so, you know, but the purpose of these gifts is to equip people so they can do the work of the ministry. It says that these gifts are what? For the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, or to build the body of Christ up. Well, the body of Christ wouldn't get built up if they can't do with the word. There's one thing about it. God will teach you and teach you to do. It's one of the things that I learned from the time when I was a young Christian. God would teach me things and he would talk to me about then going and doing something. And I would take those things and I would go do them, acting out the word of God. And, you know, just doing things God would tell me. You know, when God dealt with me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and things, and just getting me to do stuff. He wanted me to do things. I'll never forget. I was just, you know, praying in the bedroom when I was just a young Christian. And the Lord said, go downstairs, lay hands on Wanda, and I'll fill her with the Holy Ghost. Well, in actuality, I don't even think Wanda even knew anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that time. You know, I had gotten filled with the Holy Ghost in the bedroom. I had read some of Brother Hagin's books. I'd listened to some of his tapes, and he'd talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I thought, well, I'm just going to get filled with the Holy Ghost in the bedroom. And I received it, got filled with the Holy Ghost. And so the Lord said to me, but see, he wanted me to do stuff. See, I don't understand people are always waiting for somebody else to do something, because God always dealt with me, you do something, you do it. You know, as soon as he'd teach me something, he would, you go do this. So he said to me, get down and lay hands on Wanda, and I'll fill her with the Holy Ghost. And when he did that, I thought, oh, man, what is that? You know, I get under lay hands over, nothing happens. Because I'm thinking, is this me just thinking I'm hearing this? Or what is this? You know, that's it. So there was something that came to me that Kenneth Hagin had said on a tape one time. And he said, if you feel led to do something, and he said, you're not sure if it's God or not. He said, look at it. He said, from the standpoint, if it didn't work, what does it do? I mean, is it something that's going to really affect to mess somebody really up or something like that? Or is this just maybe you'll look dumb? And I thought, well, my God, I looked dumb a bunch of times already. So Wanda always thought I was a little strange. So that wouldn't be anything. That wouldn't be nothing on that one. So I thought about that and I thought, well, I'm going to do it. So I went downstairs and Wanda was in the kitchen and I just told her, I said, come here. I said, and she sat down in a chair, and I sat down in a chair. And I said, Lord, tell me to lay hands on you and fill you with the Holy Ghost. And I laid hands on her, and she almost fell off the chair, but she started talking in other tongues. I thought, well, praise God. You know, you start doing something, you know. It's one of the things of it is having information. If it doesn't work, God's going to always lead you to practice things, is to do things, is to prove out that it works. The word is of no value to you if it doesn't produce what it says. Who cares if people run around and say, I believe God can heal? You go around the church world, all kind of people say they believe God can heal. And 99% of them have never gotten healed by God one time in their life. They have never seen anybody else get healed. They just, well, God can do it. Well, he don't do it anymore very often and that's something. Who cares? Then why ever study the subject or ever talk about it if it don't work? You know, it's a waste of time. I ain't got time to waste my time on what doesn't work. You know? I mean, most Christians, if you tore the pages out of the Bible, don't work anymore. You only got three left. So, you know, that's one thing at least. You've got three pages. It ain't like you got a whole lot to study. So, it's you take the Bible and just start studying it and then practice the word. And this is the whole point of these teachings are so people will practice what the word says. It'll equip you for the work. The work means this. It just means toil. You know, it's like they told us in Bible school, they used to say this all the time to us. They say, how do you spell ministry? W-O-R-K. It's work. That's what it is. It's work. You know. So, and it is. I mean, that's what it is. It's work. And it's anything in life. You're going to toil. Anything you learn or you're going to do and practice, you're going to have to work at it. That's what you do. It's one of the things is understanding spiritual development is much in the same as naturally with people growing up is the same way. You're going to have to work at growing up. You know, is going to have to work at it. That's one of the great problems we have in our society today, because we're trying to have people to grow up without work. We don't expect anything. We don't demand anything. It requires work. They have to do things. Number one, it is not comfortable to grow up. It's not comfortable to grow up. Because growing up is going to require you to do things that you've never done before. It's going to require things of you that you're not used to. It's definitely going to do this. It's going to make your flesh uncomfortable. That's why people don't grow up today, because their flesh, anything that makes me feel uncomfortable, like we have all the snowflakes today in colleges, safe spaces. There ain't a safe space in this world. Get over it, idiots. Dear Lord, safe space. You know, the only safe space they got's between their ears. There's nothing there. That's the safe spot. There's not any place. I mean, there's stuff going on, stuff happening, stuff will go wrong. And if you can't take things wrong, going wrong, you will always be a baby. You'll always be a big baby. There's one thing is about growing up. Growing up is this. You come to the place where the things around you that go on that make you uncomfortable, they don't dominate your life and they don't rule you. If you can't come to that place, you'll never grow up. It's an impossibility. Because stuff is going on and happening. Things go wrong. Did you notice that? Did you notice no matter how you do and how wonderful you try to be and walk in, there's just people will be just ugly and do something crazy or stupid. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to let that run your life and you have a choice? Well, adults don't. So we know this today. There are few adults. There are very few adults out here. Most people are just moved by everything that goes on around them, you know. I mean, I knew, like, when I worked at Reese Candy Company, when I was working there, I just, you know, noticed that the majority of our employees, I mean, they couldn't get themselves to work half the time. They couldn't, you know, work was just, oh, it's just so hard working here. I used to think, dear Lord, the jobs that I worked and labored where I was on farms and everything else, H.B. Reese Candy Company, I got paid the most and did the least I ever did in my life in any place I worked. And I listened to all these people sit around crying the blues all the time, and I used to think, oh my God, these morons and idiots, if they ever had to do anything in their life. But they couldn't take anything. Anything that happened, oh, it's just so stressful. It's so stressful. Ah, ha, ha. It's stressful, you know. But you have those things. It's because of their immaturity. Nobody ever grew up. No, everybody ever grew up and faced anything. And hey, that's life, you know. So, you know, you got to take off at least once a week from work because it's just so stressful there. It's just so hard. I mean, I have to get up in the morning and go, or I got to get up in the afternoon, whatever shift you were on. Ah, it's just so much. It's just so hard to do. They expect so much. They actually expect me to go and work those 8 hours I'm there. They literally, what kind of people are these? So I took 4 extra breaks and they got mad. What is wrong with these people? Don't they understand how life's so hard? There's work going on. So the saints are to do the work of the ministry. Isn't that wonderful? So not the ministry gifts that gave them. So, the purpose, it says, concerning these gifts is so till we all come into the unity of the faith. This is really important. In unity, just really is the idea of believing the same things. So things should be taught. You got to come in. It's just like anything that's going to work in unity. Anybody can't be just doing their own thing. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has the same gift. It's like your human body is designed that it works to work in unity, isn't it? But you know, the big toe don't touch the eye, does it? Don't be sticking your big toe in your eye. It's not a good thing to do. But they don't. But there's a unity in its working together so it can flow and do what it's supposed to do. And it's just like in the body of Christ, there's people with different gifts. But those gifts, everybody, you're not on your own doing your own thing. And that's one thing is dealing with the American culture. We really have a problem because the American culture, which has gotten into the church, which is not church culture, it's not God's culture, it's American culture, is really self-centered and selfishness. It's all about me. You know, my ministry, and that's understand this about any gifting that you and I get from God, it is never for you. Your gift is never for you. Never. You are gifted for others. Your point. This is. Now just think about, now think about the big toe. What if the big toe only thought it was for itself? You know, the big toe is a balanced toe of the foot to keep you when you're walking and that stuff to maintain balance. Now what if it decided, no, I don't want to do that job. I don't want to do that. And so the rest of the body stumbles around. That's the most people. That's, and people don't understand that. It's in the body of Christ. They don't realize the purpose of the big toe is not for itself. It's for the body. It's to maintain the balance for the rest of the body when it moves. And that's the way gifts are. That's the way gifts are. You know, it's just like the gift that I have teaching. It's not for me. You know how I learn? I have to study just like everybody else does. The teaching gift doesn't turn around and do something special for me. It does special for you guys. God gives me revelation to teach you guys. That's what he does. And it's for other people. And so, and understand, anything that God does in any gifting, it's about other people. Now, we get blessed because, we can be blessed because we use our gifts to bless others, and God blesses us. And so you do that, but you learn to put, it's others first, not you first. And see, getting that in the body is one of the things of the body, that is part of the unity of the body. Everybody doing, everybody hooking up in their part what they're supposed to be doing. Gaining the knowledge of how the body is supposed to work. Now the word knowledge here, which is used, it means to have an exact knowledge, or a full knowledge, or discernment, or to recognize something. It isn't the idea of having just generally having knowledge. It's the idea of having a complete knowledge of something. And that there is really important. It's not enough to just have, you know, as you go along and grow, you find this, you gain knowledge in areas, but you got to keep studying. You don't ever arrive at the place because you need full knowledge. You need to come to the place. There's things that, you know, we know a little bit about, but it would sure be better if we knew a lot more about it. And we should come to the place to know more. The Holy Spirit wants you to gain a full knowledge of things, not so you just have a get-by knowledge or just a little bit of it. And, he wants you to come to the place where you have a full knowledge of the Word of God. Now, these gifts are put to help us gain full knowledge. So it's really important. This is one of the things that is like honoring gifts that are in people. That's one of the things is, like I said, the Lord spoke to me when I first started the church. And he told me, he said, don't counsel people who won't come to church. You don't counsel them. And why? Well, for this purpose, he said, if they don't honor the gift in you, you're wasting your time with them. See, it's number one, the gift in me, it's not me, it's the gift that's in me. To not honor the gift in me is to not honor Jesus Christ who gave the gift. And when people don't want to sit down and take the time to let the gift teach them, don't waste your time giving extra time to people who don't bother honoring the gift. They don't honor the gifts that God puts in the body. They want to have their special, selfish treatment. I don't go to church, I don't listen, and you just take time out for me whenever I want it. Oh yeah, that's what they do. And the Lord said to me, you don't do that. You tell them that you will counsel. They can come to church. He says, you tell them on Sunday morning you will be counseling. And if they come, and if they want to talk to you privately, he said, you tell them after they come a few months to church, every time, then you may talk to them. But he said, if they don't, you tell them no, you will not talk to them. See, people think that sounds mean. Why? They're not going to learn or go nowhere. They're not going to end up any place if they don't honor. God has established a plan on how he does things, and if you don't honor it, it ain't working for you. You know, God's not like the state. You get on drugs and do stuff and don't go to work, they won't come and take care of you. God don't do that. God don't act that way. God has a plan of how things work, and so you fall in line with how things work. And it's number one, it is so easy because you follow the plan works. God's plan always works. You just follow it. It'll work. I have never followed the plan of God that didn't work. It always works. It's a short thing. If it don't work, God's a liar. When's that going to happen? So, see, people come along and they have their ideas of how things ought to be, and they have their God that they make up along the way. And, it's like people say to me, well, I don't believe I have to come to church. Well, then I always say to them, then what are you calling me for? Why do you call me? You got this thing and you know how it works. What are you calling me for? You ought to be just doing great. Say, no, you're not, because your plan don't work. And I tell you what you have to do, and you won't listen to me anyhow. Why should I take my time out and hold a counseling session? Absolutely stupid. You know? What if they want is something for nothing. I put nothing into anything, but I get what I want out of it. There is no such system except the American government. Politicians will do that to buy your vote. But God ain't buying your votes. He has no interest in whether you like him or not. That doesn't faze him. He's not moved if you say, I don't like you, God. He rests just as well. It don't faze him. So he's not nervous about none of that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. We come into the unity of faith, into this knowledge. And it's like I said, it says they're a perfect man, but really means mature or full grown. We want to arrive where we get mature or full grown. It says, till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till everybody comes to the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ. Looks like we got a lot of work to do. Now, you will find this out about yourself. You may have certain areas where you're much more mature than you are in other areas. In other words, you're more developed in a certain area because you may have more knowledge. You know, we're all gaining a knowledge in things. And so you'll find that about yourself. Is learn about that. People generally like to stick all the time to where they're really good at. But you need to understand this. You need to take the areas and look at areas that you're weaker in and develop in that area. You need to look at those because they will affect you operating in other areas even though you say you're good at. There's things that you might have get by with on a time concerning healing, but eventually certain things you don't develop in other areas concerning your conduct of life and stuff, you may very well find out after a while you can't get healed. You've got to learn to develop. So, you take areas and you find out what you need to be developing in. Find out what you need to be working at. But one of the things that I found with this is just like with teaching in these areas I'm doing now, I always go back over basic areas of teaching and over scriptures on basic areas. You know, it's too easy for people to go over and they want to get on, everybody wants to go into something new all the time and get in, and it's fine. There's things that we can learn that are new that's, you know, too new to us, not new to God or anything. It's new to us. But always keep yourself over in the basic areas, the word concerning faith and your walk and stuff like that. Keep those things where you're always looking at scriptures on those things. Make sure you're looking into those areas because, and especially, I'm just going to tell you, in the areas of healing and things like that, make sure that there are things that you're always going over and meditating on scriptures and things concerning that, taking the time. You know, I have confessions that I do of certain scriptures concerning healing all the time when I say them, those things, keeping those things in there, you know, which is good to do. I mean, I am sure glad I do that. You know, I might be under the ground somewhere right now if I hadn't been doing those kinds of things. You see, there's people who are under the ground because they don't do those things. They don't ever do nothing about certain things till a problem comes up in it. There's major things. It's number one, Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life. The devil wants to kill you. You know, if anything he likes to do is kill Christians. He likes to get them off the earth if he can. See, if he can't get you to turn against God, he don't want you around. And healing is a hugely important thing. It's number one, sickness and disease dominating your life and ruling your life is a huge problem. And, I mean, just think about this. When the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, talked to them about their problem, they weren't walking in love with each other, he said, many are weak and sick and die prematurely. So in that church, he said many were weak, sick, and dying prematurely. So it'd be good to get over certain things and meditate on them. Because I want to tell you right now, the Church of America, right now, the Church of America, the majority of the people in the Church of America, the majority that are sick because they don't know the Word of God or they don't spend no time with the Word of God about stuff. They don't do it. And they come along, they're messed up. And the devil is attacking and killing people. Making him sick and weak. I mean, in the church world, even though we say we believe in healing, the church world has as much medical problems as the world does. There's no difference between the two. It shouldn't be until we decide, hey, hold it, Lord. You know, I say, hold it. I ain't going to put up with it like the world does. I'm not going to do that. But see, it's up to us. It's not up to God. Those things are up to us. And it's about coming to place in spiritual maturity in these areas. To come to these places, you've got to identify and say, you know, if I need to make changes, then I need to make changes about this. So that I'm not dominated. I don't want ruled by sickness and disease. I don't want ruled by these things. I don't want this stuff dominating my life. But we have to decide, God's not going to do nothing about it. God, you know, it's up to us, to what we do about it. It's not God being mean, but we have to do something about that. And so setting ourselves and deciding that, hey, things aren't right here, and making change. Lots of times people have wrong mindsets in these areas. The New English Bible says concerning maturing, it says to mature to manhood, measured by nothing less than the full stature of Christ. And one of the things that we read, it said, so we're no more be children. And what it means there is, in the word children there, is being immature or babies or infants. So we're no longer immature. So we're no longer babies or infants. So the characteristics of immature Christians, following, one of the things you'll find about, especially with new Christians and that stuff is going along, following any new teaching that comes along. So they'll be following one thing one day, and the next time somebody's talking about something else, and they're over there doing that. They're here to this and here to that. Over the years, I've watched this in people who never stay with anything. And, you know, we go to the natural, you see it in people also who never mature. People who never stay in any job in any period of time. They jump from job to job. They're always doing. They can't stay in anything. That's a sign of immaturity. They can't stay. See, if you take a child, you take a little kid, what do they do? Trying to keep them focused on something for a period of time. That's some work, isn't it? 15 minutes and they're off to something else. I tell you what. Did you ever notice that? As children. Well, we can go from the standpoint, I see spiritually people do that too. They, you know, spiritual babies, they do that too. They say something to God, this is neat. But they never develop in any area. They just jump from thing to thing to thing to thing. And whatever somebody comes along and seems to be new or sounds good, you notice the fact they don't check things out to find out if it's okay. And they get in trouble. They get into things and start, you know, following things. And that's one of the things that you need to do. One of the things I was very grateful for, how you're raised can have a lot to do with how even you start off as a Christian. That's how you're raised. See, I came from a very disciplined family. And they taught us, you know. Like my parents, you know, they wouldn't allow you to just, you know, go do something. You had to finish what you started and that kind of thing, which was a very good thing. And, you know, when I was a kid, I thought they were just being downright honoring and mean. You know, my parents, if they would have really loved me, they'd have let me be like my friends were, who were lazy and worthless. And they wouldn't. They wouldn't do it. What's wrong with these people? But you know, when I first started off as a Christian, I got born again. I was at H.B. Reese Candy Company. There was a move of God was going on there at that time, and I got born again. But after a couple years passed, I saw that majority of the people that got born again were starting to really get away from Christ. They were getting off into things, and they were living pretty, a lot like they lived before they got saved. They were back over into stuff. And, I'm after God. And I said to the Lord about it. I want to know why. What's the difference? Why? What's the difference between them? Well, there's two things he talked to me about, but it really came down to this basis of this was the fact. He said this to me. He said, many of these people, he said they came out of weak-willed families. Weak-willed families. He said parents that didn't stick with things and never made them stick with things. And he said, They're not trained. He said, for them, this is a whole new thing. And he said, they're having to learn a whole new lifestyle. He said, for you, it's not like that. He said, you were taught. See, it's like with me, when I was in the military, I went in the military at 17 years old. I was more disciplined than most 40 years old are today. And so the military was never a problem to me, to obeying orders and doing stuff. I mean, that's just what you did. I mean, that's the way we did it. And that wasn't a problem for me about that. But, you know, you found people, just those kind of things are really problems. And if you come out of families that you have lack of discipline in the family and you were raised, now they come in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, to succeed in it, requires discipline. It requires discipline. It does. But if you look at it, anything that you're going to be good at is going to really require discipline, to whatever you want to be. How much do you want to succeed in what you're doing? Do you want to be the guy that has a 40-hour week job and you want to do that? If that's what you want to do, that's fine. Maybe as far as you go. But how far do you want to go with what you do? How far do you want to succeed at what you do at? You know, you're the guy that maybe you're just going to work for somebody else and that's what you like doing. But maybe you want to be a person who wants to own your own business. Well, you can't be a person who wants to own your own business and be a 40-hour day week work person. That ain't happening. That ain't going on. And so you have to decide how far you want to go. God doesn't set a limit and say, here, you can only go this far in the kingdom. He doesn't set that. That's not set. Everything's set by you. You decide how much you want to put into it, what time and effort you want to put into it. And then think about that, you know. But it was really, and this is one of the things for myself growing up, is one of the things when I first came to Christ, and I started listening to Kenneth Hagin on teaching about faith, and it made sense. Faith made sense to me. You know, it was number one is being disciplined enough in my life to know how you were supposed to do things and somebody have orders to do things. I thought, well, there's a definite order to this thing that works. You can see that, you know, this isn't something just thrown out there. People talk about faith when I was a kid in church, and faith was always this mystical thing. There's nothing mystical about faith. It's a formula that you got to follow. There's laws that govern faith, and you have to follow those laws to make it work. You know? And so, you know, if you want an airplane to fly, you have to follow certain laws in how to build a plane so it'll stay in the air. You know, you can't make square wings. Don't do that. If you do, it ain't going to do well. So, it's going to be a lot of problems. But you've got to follow laws. Well, it's the same way. To me, that made sense. But the Lord said this to me. He said, I'm going to use your military training to teach you how to walk by faith. And what he began to teach me was discipline. That's what he began to teach me. That you do stuff and you keep doing things, whether it looks like it's working or not. You're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by what's going on around you. You're not moved by those things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you're looking to see something concerning faith, you already missed it. You're not in it. Faith, I don't need, when I can see it, I no longer need faith. Faith is what you do when you can't see it. Faith is what you're doing. And most people, they're all in the seen realm, talking about faith, always trying to see something. Well, once you see it, no one needs faith anymore. You need faith is when you can't see it. And so that becomes very difficult for people, because most people, you know, it was very helpful. See, with my parents teaching us discipline, they didn't teach us that you keep doing things because you see a goal or you see this done. This is just the right thing to do. You know, most people, this is why faith and lots of times finances and stuff don't work for people. Most people give with the whole intent about giving back. They don't give because it's the right thing to do. Their whole intent is just getting something back. There comes to things of doing things that are right, whether there's anything in it for me or not. See, we don't know it. What was in it for Jesus to die on the cross? Not a thing. So the love of God that shed abroad in my heart isn't based on what Ed can get. It's what Ed can give. A little bit different, isn't it? So, see, is getting the right motivation into what we do. See, it's one thing, is being soldiers and trained in the military, you were trained to do certain things even if it cost you your life. Most Christians don't have that thought in their blasted little minds at all about serving Jesus. See, you were told to do certain things. You did them no matter what it cost. You got to take something, you know. You got to go over here and take that bunker over there. It wasn't about, well, I could get hurt going and doing that. You weren't trained to worry about any of that. That had nothing to do with nothing. What had to do was they told you to take that bunker. We're going to take that bunker. See, we don't know about it. And this is the discipline of in the kingdom of God. Most people are just always concerned about their life. Well, see, you can't go there and go to the place of faith. Because as long as you're fighting for your life, you're going to have fear. And that fear is going to kill your faith every time. It's going to kill it. And so, being disciplined is a wonderful thing because being disciplined, you end up doing what's right. You just keep doing it. This is the right thing to do. Doesn't matter what it costs. It doesn't matter what I just keep doing the right thing. This is the right thing. This is the thing that pays off in the kingdom. This thing, if we do it, this gets the will of God done. The biggest thing we need in this earth is the will of God. We need the will of God done. People want the will of God done as long as it's somebody else that does it. It's like with a guy said to Billy Graham, he said, I don't know if I can give my life for Jesus Christ. He said, if you don't worry about it. If you don't ever live for him, you'll never have to give your life. Did you ever think about it? Do most Christians ever live for Jesus? The majority never do. They'll never live for it. They live for themselves. They live for their life. So they live for it. And don't know, that's what makes life so hard. And that was, when you take up your cross, when you finally do that, it's like, the rest of it don't matter. Life gets easy. There's one thing as I learned was in Vietnam, when you forget about whether you're going to live or die, it don't matter no more. Now you can live. Now it don't matter no more. People say, I'm wondering if I'll make it home. You know, you can't go there and live every day like that. You get insane. So people look at what goes on around, oh my God, look how crazy our government is. Look how crazy this is, and look how crazy that is. What's it going to do to my life if they keep doing all these crazy things? And they're going to do nothing to my life. I don't have one. I died a long time ago. You can't hurt a dead man. Hallelujah! Glory to God. That's good stuff, folks. Hallelujah. But you need to understand this is about, especially in immature, if a person's immature, especially dealing with the body of Christ, they will become targets for the devil. They will become a target. And so, and understand that, that's why it's one of the things you pray for true baby Christians, because, you know, the devil wants to get them off course, and you need to pray for them. You need to let them know, is one thing, is dealing with really immature. It's a whole different than dealing. Now, let me say this, because we'll talk about teaching, not here shortly, but eventually we'll get over and talk about a carnal Christian. There's a difference between a baby Christian and a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian is a person who has been born again, but has never grown up and lives by the flesh. It's different than being a baby Christian. They have never decided to discipline themselves, and they become fleshly carnal Christians. And they're much harder to deal with. Babies aren't hard to deal with. You know, I mean, you just take even little kids. I mean, I know what it is being around grandkids and raising kids and our kids and that stuff. I know people talk about kids are so hard to be around and raise and that stuff. The hardest people to be around are adults. Adults are the hardest to deal with. Kids ain't hard to deal with. You know, kids do nutty stuff or crazy things. They have no, most of them don't ever have any intent maliciousness or something. They're just being kids. You know, there's that. Adults are just insane, crazy people. They care, lots of times just don't care about anybody else than themselves. Y'all been around a few like that? But real babies, you know, they're just being babies, you know, and they're just what they are. And you learn to deal with them as that. And I don't think that's such a hard thing to deal with. I don't know why people ask me. It is much harder dealing with the carnal Christian. Is the hardest person really to deal with at any time about anything. They're the hardest to deal with. They always are. Because usually they're pretty set in their ways. And they will never admit they're wrong. So you can't teach them lots of times. They can't be taught. They get set because they get offended and everything. You know, you can't ever tell them the truth because you tell them the truth, they hate you. They want you to come and pat them all the time. Tell them they're all right when they ain't all right. That's what they want. And so I find that they usually don't like it because I won't tell them they're all right. They don't like to hear that. Don't tell me that. Tell me I'm okay. Get over it. You know, that's why some people, I don't think people, a lot of people necessarily want God to talk to them, because, you know, it's one thing that I've had over time, God has talked to me, and he don't always say, Ed, you're so cute. Sometimes he has a different opinion. And, but you know, I know he talks to me for my good. He's interested. You know, don't pray and ask God that you want to, you'll go further, you want to grow more, and he can't correct you, because you're wasting your time. Because to go further is going to take correction. That's why over the years God has had corrected me so many times, because I keep asking, I keep telling him I want to go further. Well, that means I'm going to have to change. There's things I'm going to have to learn, things I'm going to have to quit doing that were all right at this level, but stepping into another level. There's things that you will never walk in an anointing and get anointings in your life you will never have without maturing into an area, which means God's going to deal with you about things about your character and about yourself. That if you want to go to there, you're going to have to deal with things. That's the way it always is. You know, it's the experience I had here when they thought I should have been dead. But you know, there's one thing about it. When you have pressure like that come on you, there's one thing is when you get squeezed, you find out what you really like. You don't know what you're like till you get squeezed. You don't even know what you're like. You'll find out what you're like when the squeeze. You'll find out how much faith you got when you really get squeezed. You'll find out about yourself. And you know what? There's certain things that I talked to the Lord about in the hospital. But I'm laying there talking to him about some things, and I could see there's some things that I need to make some changes. See, most people say, oh, this great victory. The big victory I got is now I see something because he wants to take me to another level. And to go there, there's things I need to correct. There's things I need to change. This isn't about being mean. I'm the guy that asked to go there. He didn't say, hey, come on, Ed, let's go there. I asked to go there. So he tells me what I need to do to get there. And I found out from the squeeze, I didn't have it yet. I can see, hey, there was some good stuff, man, and I was standing doing good. But there's things, if I want to go further, I need to change. And this is all part of growing up. It's about going. And, you know, I don't know if this ever changes. I think I don't think you come to the day that you really get, you're at the top. I mean, Paul said, I think the Apostle Paul said, we see it through a glass darkly. Can you imagine that statement? We see through a glass darkly. I mean, I sit down and think sometimes the light that God has given me, and he says, we're just still seeing darkly through a glass darkly. So, I would imagine the light that we got is not near as great as we think it is to what there is. So, to what we can see. But we should always be shooting for more to go further. We want to do that. We shouldn't be afraid. You're going to have to be squeezed. You're going to find this out. You need to know. God is going to allow you to be in situations where you're going to get squeezed. Not for his sake, and it's not for the devil's sake. It is for your sake, so you understand where you're at. Where you find out where your faith really is. If you don't, you find out where you really stand. You need to know that. I mean, think about that. You need to know. If I don't know where my faith level's at, how can I develop any further? I don't know where it is. You must know what you can do. And this is one thing. As God develops you, he's going to put you in places where you'll face pressures. And it's never to hurt you. It's not anything. It's for your learning. It's so you can find out where you're at, where you stand. You know, the scripture says he's not going to allow anything to come on you that you can't get out of, that he doesn't have a way to get out. In other words, he puts you in situations. God will never take you to a situation that you don't have the faith to stand in. He'll never do that. That wouldn't be fair. Wouldn't be honest of him to put you in a situation. The situation that I was in, I had the faith to stand in it. You know, unless I was just out of the will of God and opened the door for the devil to try to kill me, but I wasn't. I was smack dab in the will of God. And so, in the will of God, I found out some things. But it's, you're using your faith. There's one thing is I know this. The devil can't kill me. He don't have say on this thing. He don't have say on this thing. And see, you want to come, you want to know your limits. And this is a good thing. Because when you know your limits, you know what you can do. You know that, hey, I can go from here. I can do this. You want to find out where you can go to and where you can believe from. That's all part of developing yourself. See, and if you stay over a baby or a baby or a child, what happens is you're a person who always wants comfort. You know, that's what I see many people. They think faith is about always staying in a place of comfort. Faith is not staying in a place of comfort at all. The more you learn to operate in faith, it makes people of comfort nervous. They don't want to walk in those places. What do you need faith for if you're going to be in a place of comfort? If you're in a place where nothing's happening, you don't need no faith. Faith isn't about making stuff not ever happen around you. It's about when things happen, you control it. You use your faith. When the devil fires his little rockets and missiles, your faith stops them. Because they will be fired at you, I will guarantee you, as sure as you wake up in the morning, the devil will be launching something. He will be doing something. Faith is about stopping what he does. Remember, he's the God of this world. He's allowed to operate here. But you want to come to the place that you can walk and operate down here and you're not afraid, you're not worried, you're not scared. He throws something, you know how to stop it. You can. Your faith will stop the fiery darts of the devil, or that word darts at that time, we would say in our terminology, missiles. He fires his missiles, you stop them. And so that's what we can do. And God will help you. It's number one, if you don't develop, he's going to shoot you anyhow. So you might as well grow in faith and stop him instead of getting hit. You might as well develop and bring a halt to it. Because they're going to come. Things are going to come. They're going to happen. So, hallelujah. Develop. Grow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's one of the things that we have here. He said about speaking the truth in love. In other words, we want to always tell people the truth. We want to preach the truth. He says we do it in love. We don't tell people the truth to get at them, you know. Our purpose and really the motivation of why if we have to correct something, the motivation should be love for the benefit of the person, not because we're trying to get at them. But we speak the truth in love. In other words, tell the truth. You know, don't lie to people. Don't do that. Worst thing you can do. If something's wrong and somebody's trying to get you to, you know, say it's all right, don't you dare do it. Because you do. I'm going to tell you what, all liars will be in a lake of fire. You don't want to start in that lying program. You don't want to get over that thing trying to, because people like you. You want people like you. Look, everybody, it is in the human nature to want others to like you. But you got to come down to one fact. There's one thing that I learned. You get into situations, nobody will like, you can do what's right. Jesus got into doing what's right and they hated him. The Apostle Paul went and did what's right and they stoned him, beat him 5 times. He was beaten 40 lashes and everything else. Is number one, doing what's right. You got to come to the place where you arrive at the spot where, you know, there's one major one that I want to like me, and that's the Lord. And you know, you got to come in life because there's people are going to try to demand on you. Majority of people, majority of Christians are going to go the wrong direction. They're going to make their decisions based on what other people like and not what God likes. I mean, I learned that over the years. You know, Randall Weir used to say, if you look at what 80% of Christians, the direction they go, he said, if you go the opposite direction, by default, you'll be following God. You know, because... I mean, there's a truth to that. It's like people heading, and you know what? Everybody's trying to get, and you know, There's one of the things that, from the time I was a young Christian, people get, everybody's heading a direction, and I wouldn't go along with their direction, and people criticize me and knock me in. You don't know what you're doing. You know. And most of those people today, lots of them don't even follow God anymore. Oh, but boy, they were. Oh, yeah, we're going the right place. We're going the right. We're doing the right stuff. Well, they weren't. And it is always, because, people say, well, you're just going to end up being by yourself. How can I be with God and be by myself? Me and God are the majority. Their crowd, that was no majority. That was just a bunch of fools out there doing their thing. It's like, my God. Yeah, I'm with God, and boy, I'm losing. I mean, I tell you, what a loser I am. I'm going to follow God, or I could follow you. Gee, let's flip a coin on that one. But tell people the truth, and don't do it to be mean-spirited to them or anything, but just tell them what the truth is. Hallelujah. Let them determine. I remember the Lord spoke to me about, because people say, oh, you just have to have a positive message. And I've listened to people in this positive message thing, and their whole idea was to say something positive. In other words, when something should be corrected, they didn't. They said everything's okay, and they didn't, and they always have a positive message. And I asked the Lord about this positive message thing, and when I talked to him about it, I said, about this thing is going on, because I'd hear a lot of major ministers saying this, using that term, that positive message, positive message. And I would listen to them, and they never correct anything. And then I noticed they never correct themselves either. I started listening to these ministers and things and stuff they had done and said, and they were wrong, and they never apologized for it, and they never deal with it. Over the years, I've seen some major things ministers never repent for or repent for doing. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. You miss it. You tell people things and it ain't right. You tell them you didn't do right. The Lord spoke to me one day, just out of the clear blue, and he said to me, do you know what a positive message is? And when he said it to me, I just thought, when he asked me a question, if I knew the answer, he wouldn't ask me the question. But that's the way he does it. He does that to me all the time. He'll ask me a question, and I know. He knows I don't know it. Because I ask him about this. So he said, do you know what it is? And I said, Lord, I said, I ask you about this. I said, I'm not going to bother trying to answer this because I said, I don't have the answer for you. And this is what he said to me, and it corrected things for me. He said, a positive message has more to do with the hearer than the speaker. He said, even if a person tells you something that's true and they did it with a wrong motive, if it's true, you best listen to what he said. If it's true. See, if somebody tried to correct you on something and they were doing it out of a wrong spirit, but what they were trying to correct you about was something you need corrected in, you best listen to it. God's going to hold you accountable for hearing the truth, whether you like the way it was said or not. You won't stand before Him and say, I didn't know. Yes, you knew. Well, the guy didn't say it very nice. And He's going to say, who cares what he told you was true? You didn't correct it. So, we need to understand that. If somebody's correcting me, that's a positive thing. That's not negative. If they're correcting me so I don't get in trouble, that's not bad. But see, we have this idea, this good-bad stuff that we have said, what's good and what's bad. And we don't deal, like today, correction is considered a negative. With God, it's not. Correction's positive. The Bible says God corrects us because He loves us. If you're not corrected, you're not loved. You understand this? People who never correct you, they don't like you, don't ever think they do. Don't you ever think they're a friend of yours or they like you at all. They love themselves and like themselves. Any parent doesn't correct their child, they hate their children. The Bible says so. I'm going with God on the deal. They hate them. Praise God. God's a good father. He corrects us. Why? Because He wants to bless us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you. I'm sure there's things, you know, I've been corrected on. I'm sure there's things I need corrected on. Hallelujah. But I am willing that He would, because I want to attain to more. Don't you? Don't you want to go further? Hallelujah. We want to go further. Glory to God. So, if you and I want to get to be like Jesus, so we're going to have to get into the Word of God, because Jesus is the Word of God. You can't separate the Word of God. See, and people say, you know, yeah, I love Jesus, but I just studying the Word and doing that kind of reading the Word. I don't like to do that. Then you don't like Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Try to convince Him you like Him, but you don't like what He said. Convince Him of that. I want you to stay over. Yeah, Jesus, I really like You, but I can't stand a thing You say. I ain't got time for what You got to say. But where's Your short love? I'm sure that'd work well, I'll tell one. Wanda, I really love You. Don't talk. Don't you say. I don't want to hear a thing You got to say. I'm sure she would be really impressed. She'll talk to me about that later. That's right. God won't have to. She'll be the voice. She'll positively tell me. That's right. Another thing to make sure that you do is listen to the ministry gifts. We're going to talk about that a little bit further, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Because there's things that we want to look at. We're going to look in Scriptures, because Scripture does tell us. There are people who are in ministry offices, it tells us in the New Testament, that are not God's ministers. There's people who are, may be God's ministers, but who are deceived. And this is why you need to go to the Scriptures yourself. It's a thing that I always appreciated so much about Kenneth Hagin. He used to always tell us, he said, you don't take something because I said it. You go to the Scriptures and look it up for yourself to make sure that what I'm saying. Don't just take what a minister quotes a Scripture to you and says is so. Go look it up and see if it says it. If someone gets offended that you would check them out, you don't want to hang around them much and listen to them teaching. If they don't like to be checked out, they got a problem. Go look in the Scripture. See what the Scripture says. Do that. Number one, it's for your own protection. It's for your protection. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Look to see if the Scripture says. It's one of the things I always just loved about Brother Hagin. He always, I've heard him say that so many, I must have heard him say that 1,000 times, he'd say, don't take it just because I say it. Go look it up in the Scriptures. Make sure that it says it. You do that. See, you have to do that. You can't just sit back and not do something. Just sit back and say, well, you know, they're preaching, they said this, or they say that, and they're just, you know, believing it. That's how people get deceived. You know? And I'm at times that people get over into things. Ministers didn't have an intent to somebody to teach them wrong. But nobody checks that to find out if it's right or not. So it just goes on and on and on and on. You know, and then so this person turns around and takes it. They never look at Scriptures either, and they go telling somebody. And then this person goes, nobody's looking to find out to see if it's all right, if it's right, if it's true. Take the time to find out if it's true or not. Look it up. That's why I was studying. I'm like, you know, I don't care how much, just like with this subject here. I don't care how, I got loads of notes and stuff. My words, I got notes we could teach for, my God, all next year and always on this subject. I could go do it. But when I get out, I go back over the Scriptures again. I go to the Scriptures, go back and look all this stuff up again. And I look at things and I go over things. Why? Because you want to know. I would no way think that I knew everything about the Scriptures from before that I looked at. I might learn something new. My Lord. I don't know it all. And you do. You go back over it and you go over the Scriptures and you go and you make sure that things that you're teaching, and make sure you want to always do that. Hallelujah. Like anybody can. You know, sometimes like you find we get a partial revelation. We have a part of a revelation, and then next thing you know we get a more revelation on that, and we think, boy, that really changes. You know, that partial revelation we had, and it's like, wow, you see this and you add this to it, say, wow, that really changes it. Really makes a difference. Well, that's part of growing up. That's part of what we get. Hallelujah. I'd hate to think that I'm teaching on the same level that I did when we started the church in 1991. I mean, I'd hate to think that I ain't got no further than that. Dear Lord. You go on and you're growing and you're learning and you're learning new things and developing, and that's what you want to do. But take the time, though, to listen. God put the ministry gifts in the church. And understand, it's not a person. It's the gift. You don't follow people. You follow the gift. It's the gift. Honor the gift. If you honor the gift will bless you. Honor the gift. Treat the gift that it's like it's from God. See, people that don't go to church and listen to teaching, they are not honoring the gift. They're treat it like it's worthless. I don't need it. God gave that gift and I don't need it. I can do it without Him. Then we're saying they're a good Christian. How can you be a good Christian and don't honor God? You don't honor His gifts. Honor the gift. You know, thank God He's going to teach you through a gift. It's not the person, it's the gift. It's not, you know, God gave me a gift, but it's the gift that works. It isn't me. He gave it to a person, but it's a gift. This anointing works. Before I had this gift, in 1983 is when I got the teaching anointing come on me. In 1983, I didn't have this that I got now. I didn't have that. I mean, this thing is quite remarkable. When it started working in me, I just didn't. To me, it was one of the most phenomenal things, how this thing would operate. And it does. I mean, there's a real. I do have a benefit from the gift standpoint of sitting down and studying and getting into things. There's things that I pick up and get because of the gift. It isn't because I'm really smart at learning. Sometimes I'm amazed at the level I teach on. I just think, dear God, where did I learn that one at? It's the gift. But that's the way it should be. It's the gift working. It's not the... And see, this is one thing. The gift will only work as well as you pull on it. It's the same. Why? It's God. It's Jesus Christ. It's like God isn't going to give you something you don't pull on. If you don't go after Jesus, you don't get none of Him. The gift is from Him, and it's His gift, and if you pull on it, He'll teach you from it, and He'll do. Many times, Christians don't get much from gifts, and they don't because they don't pull on it. They think it's all the guy's supposed to do the whole thing for them, and they say, but they aren't using their faith. They're not pulling for a thing. They're not doing. They're not hooked into it. See, that makes a huge difference. When people hooked into the gift, then they start pulling on it. It starts working, and that's the way it works. I just feel so bad sometimes, you know, ministers in churches and people just don't really do much of anything, and so the minister gets where he don't do much of anything, and ain't much going on there when it comes to teaching. And it's what people will pull. If people will pull on a gift, it is amazing what that gift will, God will bring out of that gift. So that's what you want to do. You want to expect a lot out of the gift. You're not expecting for a person. You're expecting the gift. God will use that gift. He'll use it for you. That's one of the things that I learned years ago. I wondered why, and sometimes ministers get over into sin and they get over living like they shouldn't and doing all kinds of stuff. And I saw this over the years. You'd see ministers and you'd know they're out of line in life. They're just, you know, just things ain't right. And yet, in their meetings, you'll see really moves of God. You'll see things going on, God doing things. And this is a great deception to the minister, because there's one thing that a lot of ministers, they think that them and the gift are sort of one thing. It's not. It's not. The gift operates through me, but the gift don't operate for me. The gift operates for other people. I could get out of line, but people come and operate in faith with the gift, and the gift will perform. And here's where people miss it, and even the minister misses it. He thinks the gift operates because he's all right, even though he's over in this messed up stuff. Eventually, he'll fall or even end up dead. Eventually. And see, people don't understand it. Well, why is God using him like that? God's not using it for him. It's the gift, and God's doing it for the people who are pulling on it. And he's doing it for them. See, most people think carnally about gifts. They think it's the person. Most Christians follow people. And they follow and make the exact same mistakes that the minister makes, because they follow a person and not the gift. If you follow the gift, you'll develop and grow. And the guy can get messed up, but you don't follow after them. There's ministers in that stuff who went on for years and years and died prematurely, and many of their followers died prematurely too because they followed the person instead of the gift and made the same mistakes the person did and end up dying prematurely just like the person did. I could take you back over ministers where this happened in ministry is after they left their followers and that stuff. Same things. Loads of them die around the same age that the person died. Why, they follow a person. You don't follow, you follow the gift. You stay in the spiritual side of it. I didn't follow Brother Hagin. I follow his gift. He had a great gift. And that gift's full of life. And that gift, see, and you follow after that gift. And that gift will do wonderful things for you. Of course, that gift was given by God to the church. The gift was. He left. The blessing of that gift is still here. In fact, I hold part of that gift. Where I got my teaching anointing from is from that gift. I got it from him. Hallelujah. I got part of his anointing. He even made the statement. He said, some things in my anointing I don't even have anymore. He said that I used to have. He said, some people that walk with me, they have that anointing now. People don't know about this stuff. But anyhow, but that's why, as you follow after the gift is from God. God uses people, but the gift is not the person. The gift is the anointing that God puts to teach and instruct. Yield to that. Learn to go after the gift. If you treat the gift right and treat the gift, God will bless you. God will bless you. Hallelujah. And so you want to do that. That's one thing as I always did with Brother Hagin. I always honored the gift. Now, it is wonderful when an individual walks right and stuff and does what's right because it does enhance the gift. It does enhance it. But we have to learn. And even with ourselves is the same way. You want to walk right because the gifting of God you is tied to your walking right. It's tied to you in the same manner. Glory to God. So we all want to grow up, don't we? Yes. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, you have set a plan in motion. And Lord God, your plan is good, it's great. And I want to just thank you. Father, you surely have been patient with us. And I thank you because you are kind and merciful, Lord God. But Father, I thank you. Lord God, in this last days and times, your desire is to lead us into a lot of wonderful things. And Lord God, Lord, our nation and the people of this nation and the church, we need some things, some wonderful things to happen. And Lord God, Lord, there needs to be great changes. And Father, I thank you that you're raising up a people, Lord God, that are willing to make the great changes needed, that your glory can be revealed. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, we desire a shaking in this nation. And Lord, not to destruction, but of your blessing, Lord God. Lord God, that you can reveal your glory once more in this land. Lord, if anything the President of the United States needs, he needs the church to get in line and have a move of God. Lord God, to turn things around in this land. And I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to move. Hallelujah. Father, you said if we would hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'd fill us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're after what's right. Lord God, there's a lot of things that are wrong, but you got what's right, and we're after what you have. Hallelujah. And we're not going to be disappointed. Father God, we desire that your hand be upon us. We desire a strong anointing of the Holy Ghost in our life to fulfill your plans and your purposes. We want Jesus Christ glorified again in America. We want Jesus Christ magnified again. And he will be. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.